Shrimhriditam Hena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvetam Sadhutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vadita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sahito Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Raha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Krishna Arsude Devi Pranamami Nimbali Priye Vancha Kopataru Vyascha Kripa Sindho Jai Vacha Patita Nam Pavanekyo Vaishnadevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 11th chapter, text 51. Arjuna Vacha Drishtvedam manusham rupam tava somyam janardana idanim asmi samvrittaha sacheta prakritim gataha. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. Purport. Here the words manusham rupam clearly indicate the supreme personality of Godhead to be originally two-handed. Those who derive Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and again to show the four-handed Narayan form? So it is very clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahma within Krishna speaking, is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries on Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Mata parataram nanyat kinchid aspi tananjaya. My dear Arjuna, there's nothing higher than me. He's very clearly said this. And yet, there are commentators who say, well, yeah, there's something higher than Krishna, you see. And that higher reality is speaking through Krishna. Krishna is actually just a projection of the Absolute in terms of the some material form that we can see. But the true Absolute is far beyond this mere material symbol through which that Absolute is speaking. In this way, they misguide the reader. The Krishna speaks as the personality of Godhead. And he says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, I am the origin of everything. And then he turns it around and says, Mata Sarvam Pravartate, everything comes from me. So he says it backwards and forwards. I means the person who's speaking, that's Krishna. He's the origin of everything. So the Bhagavad Gita is, as Srila Prabhupada said, simple for the simple. Not a difficult thing to understand if one accepts it as it is. And if we want to speculate and put forward our own stubborn views, then we'll never understand Krishna. We'll remain rooted in materialistic misconceptions. Drishtveda Manusha Rupa. Arjuna was completely, he asked in the beginning of the chapter, a little innocently, can you show me your universal form? And Krishna said, yes, I can show you. But when he actually showed this form to Arjuna, it was terrifying. Arjuna saw all the soldiers on both sides being devoured, rushing into the blazing mouths of the universal form, being turned to powder within between his teeth, and some of them hanging between the teeth like little bits of spinach stuck there between their teeth. And he saw practically everyone, not only the soldiers, but the whole world. Everyone is just rushing into the mouths of the universal form and being destroyed. Oh, it was terrifying for him. And finally, he said that I asked to see this form, but now I would be grateful if you would please return to your original Saumyavapu. Saumyavapu means a very nice form. The universal form is impressive, but not very congenial. But the form of Krishna is so pleasing and beautiful that Sacheta Prakritangata, Arjuna says, now I've been restored to my true nature. And now I've got my consciousness back. Idanim asmi samvritta. Now I'm peaceful and my mind is composed. I asked to see that form, but it was so terrifying. Now to see this beautiful form of Krishna is very satisfying. Manusham rupam. It appears to be like a man's form, a human being's form. Because we think from our side that Krishna is something like us, when in fact we're something like him. If you think that the impersonal absolute is the source of everything, you have the very difficult job of explaining how from the impersonal homogeneous oneness all these varieties come. That's always the sticking point in the impersonalist philosophy. It lacks explanatory power, finally. It can't explain things. It can't explain variety. But when we accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead, then Parashubhavana Shakti, he has Parashya Shakti Vividaya Vishuyute, he has variegated energies. So that makes everything congruently intelligible. It makes it all hang together. There's the personality of Godhead. He's the reservoir of all powers and all varieties, all energies. And he employs his energies as he sees fit. Or his energies work according to his will. And that's how we get everything. That's how we're manifested. That's how the world's manifested. That's how the spiritual world is manifested. And our only difficulty is that we're the wrong energy in the wrong world. Where the spiritual energy stuck to the material energy, which is troublesome for us, unlimitedly troublesome for us. And therefore our business is to go back to Krishna, go back to the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual world, which is our real nature. Sacheta prakritimata. Arjuna said, now I'm restored to my natural consciousness, which means Krishna consciousness. Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my Lord, he's situated properly, or yes, naturally again in his relationship with Krishna, which is as good as being in the spiritual world. Krishna consciousness, where Prabhupada said, Vaikuntha is everywhere, Goloka Vrindavan is everywhere. It's simply a question of consciousness. And Chaitanya Charitamrita has also said that Goloka Vrindavan, we have the picture, that first there's the material world, then there's the world of Lord Shiva, then there's the world of Vaikuntha, and then higher than that is Goloka Vrindavan. This picture is given in the Brahma Samhita. But then again it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Goloka Vrindavan is all-pervading. That means no one will actually understand Goloka Vrindavan any more than will be able to understand Krishna fully. But to some extent we can understand Krishna. And that understanding comes by loving Krishna, by reviving our natural affection for Krishna, by which our affection for the material world is gradually evaporated. And that's our project, that's our business, to become more and more attached to Krishna, to become settled in Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, we're settled in material life and agitated in Krishna consciousness. After 10 minutes of chanting Hare Krishna, we're looking around. And after 10 minutes of some material engagement, we forgot everything else in the world. But when we're restored to our real nature, then we'll be completely happy. The Jamuna Charga says, Pavantam eva churam nivantara prashanta vishesha vanavratante kadaham aikantika nichikankara praharshiya shyami sanata jivita. He says, my mind is wandering all over the place. Manovratante manovratena satita matovi. Of the mind is down here. It says, when will my mind be prashanta? When will it be completely peaceful? Prashanta nishesha manovratanta. Finished with this business of running around here, running around there, doing the crow business, picking at little bits of sense gratification, either physical sense gratification or sense gratification imagined in the mind. When will my mind stop that? Pavanta mevanu charam nirantara prashanta nishesha manovratantara tadaham aikantika nityakankara. When will I be completely focused in Krishna consciousness? Aikantika, exclusively engaged as your kinkara, as your order carrier, as your servant. At that time, praharshi ishyami sanataji. I'll be completely joyful. Harshi Ishyami means I'll be joyful. And Praharshi Ishyami, I'll be absolutely joyful, ecstatically joyful, very, very, I guess modern terminology, way joyful. Praharshi Ishyami, Sanata Jivita. Because I'll have my Lord. The living entity is by nature subordinate. He's happy when he's controlled. He wants to be independent when he's in touch with the illusory energy. But when he's freed from illusion, He wants to be controlled. He wants to be engaged by Krishna. He wants to put aside, I want this, I want that, and be focused on what do you want, what can I do for you. Kinkara means that. Kinkara means servant. But it's etymologically, Kinkara, what can I do? What can I do for you? Kinkara, what can I do for you? Sanatana, anatta. Anatta means an orphan. A person who has no Lord is called anatta, an orphan. And sanatana, it's like a street dog, it has no owner. So it's not very happy, it's always getting kicked and bit and troubled in so many ways. But when the dog has a nice master, when he's well fed, well groomed, well taken care of in every respect. So our ambition is to be like that, become like the pet dog of Krishna, to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Saketa prabhutam gata. Simply to be happy in Krishna consciousness, always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Maybe we'll take some questions very soon.
Mm-hmm. Alright, you were talking about the Lord Vrindavan, so I'm wondering, I'm actually thinking of my realization of the Virat River, I believe it's called Virat
River. Viraja River, yes.
Viraja.
Way past the Hudson. Where is the Viraja River? It's just on the border of the material world and the spiritual world. It's just on the border, or you can say surrounding the material world. We get to the Viraja and we cross through that to a new way to our contact.
Mm-hmm.
Shiva's place is above it. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at my map again to see exactly where the Shiva's place is in regard to Viraja.
Srila Prabhupada said that both places, but above the Viraja, the Shiva's place, he put in his commentary that it cannot be considered spiritual world because devotional service is not performed.
Mm.
So it is, he said, so it cannot be called spiritual world, even though it is above Viraja.
Lord Shiva's place is above Viraja,
yes,
but not yet the spiritual world.
Right, because no devotional service is
neutral territory.
You mentioned that we cannot fully understand the spiritual world.
We can't fully understand the spiritual world, no. Oh, you can go there without fully understanding. You go, you'll understand a lot more. But there's always more to understand. It's like someone can come to America. What can you understand sitting in one little corner of Florida? But something. And he's happy. Now I'm in America. Now I'm earning 20 times what I was earning in Bangladesh or whatever. Cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna, having so many pastimes with Krishna, not everyone can go there. Not everyone wants to go there. That's the problem. There's an invitation, but most people would say, well, no, they're having a party over at the student center next week. I'll think about it. I'll have to ask my girlfriend. Well, we don't have that intense desire to go. Otherwise, the invitation is there. It's just up to us to accept it.
Thank you. talk about God as a he is not politically correct.
To talk about God as a he is not politically correct. How do we answer that?
Yeah.
You're right. It's not politically correct. So if your goal in life is to be politically correct, then you may not want to refer to him as he. If you have no higher goal in life than to be a politically correct little sheep. But since when is reality determined by what's politically correct? We don't know what he or she is. That is to say, what spiritual he is and what spiritual she is, we don't know, because we're used to the perverted reflection in which a he is not really a he, in which a she is not really a she, which helps account for why so many he's and she's aren't even clear about what kind of it they are. The real he is Krishna. And the perfect she is Srimati Radharani. And together they're the complete absolute truth. But neither one of them is a he or a she of this material world. And we're thinking in these terms because of false ego, which in our society is politically very incorrect. Yes?
Well, another point you just made was that you can't limit Krishna by gender. He can really do whatever he wants. And also, he came as Mohini Murti as well.
You can't limit Krishna by his gender, and he came as Mohini Murti
as well.
Well.
Yeah,
but the acharyas are careful to point out that that was a sort of just a disguise. You know, even like back in Shakespeare's days when Ophelia and the girls' parts, they were all done by men. So they came on as women, but they were men anyway. So Krishna, when he plays as Mohini Murti, still he's male, but playing as female. That's the point of view of the acharyas.
Is it the point that it's all a matter of limitation or some kind of
it's all a limitation. To think in terms of material male or material female is a limitation. And therefore, the impersonal say, yes, he's neither male or female, he's a vague, sort of a blended all in force with no gender, no this, no that, no nothing, because you don't want to upset anybody, especially ourselves. But the opposite of neither male nor female is not nothing. Krishna has spiritual gender, which is unknown to the material world. And it's unknown to us because we're so attached to this false bodily identification in which I'm thinking, I'm a man or I'm a woman. And if you're going to diss on whichever party I belong to, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. This is all false ego. Mm-hmm. How is Srimati Radharani God or not God? It's a little confusing.
Yeah, she has capital S for she, but she's...
Oh, well, that gets more confusing. We're going to get into the whole capitalize the pronouns or not. We're going to have another uprising here.
Don't make broader, man.
No, we won't do that. So as for the philosophy, leaving capitalization aside, the Acharyas have given the example of the sun and the sunshine. When we speak of the sun, it doesn't mean just that disk up there in the sky. It also means the light that's streaming down on us from the sky, from the sun. If you subtracted that sunlight, the sun would just be another rock. It would be unimportant and useless. It wouldn't be the sun without the sunshine. But the sunshine is also not independent. There's no meaning to sunshine unless you have the sun. So together, the sunshine and the sun planet are the complete sun. Subtract either one and it's incomplete. You can't separate the two. So Radha and Krishna are like that. Radharani is the supreme energy of Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme source of all energy. Together, they're the absolute truth. Yes,
those that believe that the absolute truth is impersonal, they have a very difficult time dealing with the fact of diversity. Where does diversity come from if everything is homogeneous? And from my understanding, they say diversity, male, female, as you were saying, is all a product of illusion. Mm. And then once we become free from that illusion, then again we attain our position as one with Brahman. Mm. How do they answer the fact that that illusion which covers Brahman seems to be greater? I mean, if illusion can cover Brahman into thinking that it's male, female, diverse, part of a diverse universe, how do they explain that force which can cover the supreme force? Doesn't it seem logical that that force, Maya, illusion, is even greater than Brahman? How do they deal with that?
How do they deal with that? They have a difficulty with that. They're really not prepared to give any reasonable answer for how, if the supreme is supreme, it's overshadowed by some other force. In addition to which, they have the second problem that if everything is one and everything just appears to be variegated because of illusion, then they have to explain what that second thing is, which is not the one thing. If everything is one and we don't see it because of illusion, now you've got two things. So that's a serious problem. Very settled in material life, and it's difficult to absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness.
Any pointers?
Well, I was just thinking about that before the class, and one thing is that we were discussing in Bhagavatam class in Gainesville and elsewhere also, that Krishna is very expert in unsettling us. We make our arrangements, we settle everything up, we make everything tight and secure and comfy and cozy, and then Krishna kicks us in the butt. Krishna turns the apple cart upside down. You're the king of the world, you're a beautiful queen, you're young, you're healthy, you're strong, and you just get cursed by a Brahmin boy to die in 7 days. And what is that? That's your supreme good fortune. Mm-hmm. Krishna upsets everything and gives you something so much better than what you had. So the fortunate devotee is the devotee who sees these things, who sees that when Krishna is giving me some difficulty, when Krishna is turning the world upside down, or even just moving at 10 degrees or 20 degrees enough to create a minor earthquake. That's my very good luck. course, still luckier is that we don't have to wait for Krishna to smash everything. But if we're sincere in Krishna's service, then if we get too stuck, then Krishna will sometimes unsettle us. There are two ways to be unsettled, voluntarily and involuntarily. We're going to be kicked out of our comfortable position. It will become increasingly uncomfortable. So we can fight that tooth and nail, or we can accept that as good fortune. And the Krishna conscious person accepts it as good fortune, that I can't stay here, and my attempts to stay here are doomed. So let me forget it. Why fight a lost cause? And for what? So better to surrender. Better to surrender. While we still have some fight left in us, while we still have some energy left in us, let's do something. Take a little risk. Accept a little discomfort. Take up a little adventure, challenge, something to satisfy Krishna. It will be a good lunch. Is it always
necessary
to take a risk? No, it's not like you.
To check with many authorities.
Well, sometimes if you check with many authorities, you're sooner or later you're going to find one who will say, no, 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 just stay where you are. So it's something like judge shopping. You know, look long enough, you'll find an authority who will say, no, just be comfortable. But at least some reliable authority that you trust. By the way, if anyone's looking for some adventure, the BBT has just started a new division called BBT Africa. It's meant for focusing on publishing books and distributing books, especially in African languages, of which there are more than 2,000. Some of the big ones, like KwaZulu, Swahili, Kwaswahili, Xhosa, and so on, have like 27 million speakers, 25 million speakers, 17 million speakers. There's about 500 million people in 52 countries, of which ISKCON has centers in 10. So if you're feeling a little cramped and crowded, and you're looking for some adventure and groundbreaking service, the frontier is not yet gone. Yes. Sure, we say that Krishna is the original form, and there are others who say that Vishnu is the original form. I heard Srila Prabhupada talking about that the other day. He said, Krishna, Vishnu, doesn't make any difference. He said, just like you take one candle, and you light another candle, and take another candle, and another candle. So you choose this candle, you choose that candle, it's the same. In that instance, Prabhupada didn't want to, chose not to make an issue of it. He said another time, you can say that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna, B, because when Krishna comes to the material world and he appears from Vishnu, all the avatars, they all come from the Mahavishnu. So it's also right. If you want to say Krishna comes from Vishnu, that's all right. But of course, Vishnu comes from Krishna. Opulence, and in Goloka Vrindavan there's sweetness. So those who value opulence more head for Vaikuntha, and those who value sweetness more look toward Goloka Vrindavan. Yes. Yeah, Vaikuntha there, as far as they're concerned, Narayan is it. Which is all right for the Vaikuntha Vasis. If you're going to be there, then that's the right mentality you have. Where am I staying lately?
Yeah.
Gainesville. I've been in Gainesville for the past week. I'll be around for another couple of weeks, it seems. Otherwise, I'm more or less following my usual route. India, Gulf, England, a little bit of Sweden, occupying Spain, and America. So, travel around. Try and stay long enough to cause some trouble and not so long as to get caught. Yeah, I'm here in America usually. I'm pretty soft. I come in the spring and then leave when it gets cold. Those who want to learn all about me, I have a website, jswami.info. If you want to learn more about me, other people say other things about me on other websites. All right, shall we stop here?